Blog Talk Radio.
Also from the Gospel, Blog Talk Radio, coming to you from 231 6th Avenue, down south in the big city of Beatrice, Alabama. Special guest tonight is District Attorney Michael Jackson for Selma, Alabama, 4th Judicial Circuit. We will be talking about the riots in Washington and other issues with District Attorney Michael Jackson. Good evening, Attorney Jackson. How you doing? Hello? 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 334-850-9237. Identify yourself. Hello?
Has he made it on it yet, Howard?
Yeah, I got 251-604. I'm identified. I'm 334.
Hey, Mr. Howard, this is Michael Tonner.
All right, Michael Tonner, how you doing? Thank you for joining us.
Hey, I'm doing. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Attorney Michael Jackson should be coming on. District Attorney Michael Jackson should be coming on his soon.
Okay.
He's this is the National Association of Black Defenders media conversation talking about district attorney from the 4th Judicial District there in Selma, Alabama. And we are going to be talking about issues in regards to the riots in Washington and other situations and issues. District Attorney Jackson, are you on?
Yes, I'm on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you well.
Hello. Okay.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We want to welcome District Attorney from the 4th Judicial District, Michael Jackson. You have the mic. We have two other guests are on with us. So you have the mic. Introduce yourself and tell us about the District Attorney in the 4th Judicial District there over in Selma, Alabama.
Okay, I'm the district attorney for the largest circuit in Alabama. That's Bibb, Dallas, Hale, Wilcox, and Perry counties. I got elected in 2004. I took office in January of 2005. I've been district attorney for three terms now. We're going on my third term. We're finishing my third term, I should say. And so my main office is in Selma, but I have an office in each one of these counties. It mainly covers the Black Belt of Alabama, the central part of Alabama.
All right, thank you. Tell us what it's like being a district attorney in the Black Belt. Since you have a large area to cover, tell us a little bit about your job and your day-to-day task and how you go about that task.
Well, we cover all of the felonies. We prosecute all the felony cases that come through, and we prosecute the misdemeanors in the county and in the city or towns where they don't have a municipal court. We do the misdemeanors, too. We do all the juvenile cases. We're the prosecutors for that. We do some civil cases, too, sometimes, like forfeitures or represent, like, the voter registers or somebody, one of these courthouse agencies getting sued. Sometimes we represent them. And so we stay busy, that's the bottom line. And unfortunately, in Selma, we have a lot of gang activity and we have a lot of murder cases. So that's the county, the city. And Dallas County is the county that we have to deal with a lot of murders and all kinds of other violent crimes that you see in a much larger city like Atlanta or a place like that. We got all those type of crimes. Here in Selma, which is unfortunate because this is, of course, the birthplace of the Voting Rights. March is in the Voting Rights Act, but we're still dealing with some of the ills of society. And so I have a staff, of course, of some assistant district attorneys that help me. They prosecute a lot of the cases, and a staff that also deals with these cases on a daily basis. We have like six victim services officers too to talk to victims and other things, and helping them fill out the victim services form that when they're a victim of a violent crime. And so we do a lot of different things. Of course, we work with law enforcement. They make the case and present the case to us. If y'all watch television, you know, Perry Mason, the Law and Order, one of those kind of shows, the police or the sheriff's office, somebody, one of these agencies, give us the case and we prosecute it. They investigate it, we prosecute it. I also have a drug task force out of my office that goes around trying to bust people, drug dealers, big drug dealers and that type of thing. And they also deal with the violent crime and the gang problem. So it's an interesting job and we stay busy. And of course, with the virus going on, jury trials have been put off till May. So we haven't had any jury trial for a few months now, just like a lot of other counties. Court has been put off because of the seriousness of the virus. So we're dealing with that issue too. And I want to wish everybody a happy Martin Luther King Day. This is a very special day. And so, but again, an interesting job.
All right. On behalf of the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated, we're located at 1629 K Street, Northwest 300 in Washington, D.C., 20006. Our telephone number is 202-852-4816, 561-236-2024. And for legal counsel anywhere in the country, you can call 202-852-4816. I am the media person, Howard C. Production Gospel. The executive director and CEO of National Association of Black Defenders is also on this call with us, Dr. Michael McCarvey. Also, newspaper man Michael Turner. He can identify himself in however way he wants to as a newspaper man or either a regular citizen, but they're also on the call. We want to welcome them all as we talk to the district attorney from the 4th Judicial District, Michael Jackson. The mic is open for any questions. I will lead off with the first question. In regards to the riots in Washington and what's going on in Washington, how has that affected you and your job, and what's your points in regards to that situation?
Well, I just think it's kind of sad commentary that we've gotten to this point in this country. But the good thing out of this whole situation has opened up some eyes of some people. As you know, every time people go to protest, certain elements of our society complain about them protesting and that type of thing. But when the script has been flipped, you got people making excuses for what happened recently. They got all kinds of excuses, you know. Now they're trying to put some of this stuff off on foreigners and other things, which is a bunch of crap. Is it domestic terrorism for the most part? These are white supremacists, the Klan, you name it, every little group jumping in, following their leader, Trump. And it's just amazing the excuses people are coming up with, some folks are coming up with, to justify what happened. It's starting to come out more and more about how close some of these people came to killing the vice president, Speaker of the House, and other folks. They were real close, very, very close, you know, just a few yards away from succeed. Then I just watched television the other day where some guy was standing up there with a noose, a group of folks, and this guy got a noose ready to hang somebody, that being the vice president or the speaker of the house or something. And had they beat on Nancy Pelosi with one of those flags or other things, she'd probably be dead. Now, Pence might have survived. His head might have survived. But she would have been dead. And before they even got a chance to hang her. And so I think what happened woke up a lot of people about the divide we have in this country, how easy people would believe anything if you keep repeating it. They've done a lot of studies on it. You keep repeating the same thing over and over and over. After a while, people start believing. They might not believe you at first, but you just keep on saying it over and over and over. They start believing this stuff. So, and unfortunately, Trump, President Trump is taking advantage of some of these folks. And that's why he announced on election night real quickly that he had the most votes early on, and so he was the winner. Because he knew the other votes were going to come in and he was going to lose. So go and get him stirred up by saying, hey, I'm winning. Then y'all go to sleep. The next day you done lost, and so something funny must have happened. And that's the scam people are buying. That some of these folks are buying, and it's unfortunate. And we all know folks that, and it doesn't make these folk bad, the folks that believe this scam. It doesn't necessarily make them a bad person, but it just does make them susceptible to believing anything. You know, if I want to sell a bunch of swamp land, you can always find somebody that's going to buy it for a ridiculous amount. And that's what's going on. But having said all that, and the next 2 weeks is a time where people need to be careful, because there's some angry folks out there running around. And so we all have to keep our eyes open, be careful. There was a little email that was sent to me warning people and all. And I had somebody on a group text tell me, well, that this ain't real. But the point, and what I was saying is the point of that email that was being sent out is really was warning people. Look, people are angry. Take precautions. And I totally agree. You got to take precautions right now. So that's my few minute take on what's going on and what went on. And hopefully, with all the security now, there won't be any problems Wednesday, but I don't think if there's some violence, I don't think it's going to be it where the swearing in to be. It'll be some other place where they have less security and that type of thing. These people are not crazy in the sense that they're going to go out there. You see 30,000 troops, you're not going to that location. You're going some other place.
Mm-hmm. Dr. McCorvey, our CEO, and newspaper Turner, either one of y'all got the mic.
Yes, Mr. Howard, I appreciate you tonight. And also, District Attorney, Mr. Michael Jackson, I thank you tonight for being on here with us, and Mr. Turner. One thing that I want to mention that Mr. Jackson said is that this is an ever, not only learning experience, but an ever time that we need to keep our eyes open and our ears open is right now, you know, because these are deteriorating times. I want to mention that we have some programs that can help the people if they listen, if they want help. And we want everybody these next couple weeks that Mr. Jackson is talking about to be close to each other, although we got social distancing going on, we still need to stay connected. We still need to be in the limelight. No one out at a certain hour by yourself. No one being alienated at a certain hour. We need for you to stay in places that you can be seen in the daytime and seen in the nighttime and have people at a distance around you. So that's where we are in the world now. That's where we are in America now. And I just want to mention some of the local, when it comes to local, and what I mean by local, that means Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, those are my territories with the National Association of Black Defenders. We need to keep everything kind of close-knitted and locked in. Yes, we do have a lot of race relations problems right now. Yes, we do have equal justice problems right now. But our thing in working with Mr. Jackson and working with others within the community is that we want solutions. We want to define solutions for our community. We want to get our community back on the right track. And I believe that with this new administration that's coming in, that we'll be able to get back on the right track when it comes to our country. You know, so it's a lot at stake right now. It's a lot at stake right now, you know, because we're still dealing with COVID-19. We're still dealing with our everyday issues. And in order for us to work toward a solution, we must, two things Dr. King said, we must first learn how to love. That's number one. And the second thing is, even from a distance, we must learn how to work together in order to solve the equations of what we're going through now. You know, the not only is the there's high crime rate when it comes to violent crimes, and there's high crime rate when it comes to hate crimes, there's high crime rate when it comes to police brutality. So we got some real issues that we need the whole country to focus in on. And Mr. Jackson, if you don't mind, I hope you can say something about the subject matter that you're getting ready to go into dealing with police crimes. Can you talk about that? Are you allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, well, can I jump in 1 second, then I'm going to address the police crimes. One thing going on right now, I think people need to be very careful on their job getting into these political discussions about, you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump and all that with people. Because temples are flaring right now, and with the virus, people being cooped up and that type of thing, a lot of people suffer from depression and anger. Because they can't go to their normal outlets like they would normally go to, like restaurants or clubs or parties to socialize. And so there are a lot of angry folks out there. So be very careful about getting in these serious discussions about whether you like Trump or don't like Trump. Because some of these things can turn real quickly from just a debate or a discussion to a very heated situation. So I did want to throw that out there. But now, as far as these police crimes, that's been a problem. That's been a problem from, you know, way back to now. It had dissipated. The thing we have now is everybody has a cell phone now so people can take pictures. Or videotape stuff, and so all of this is coming out. But this police brutality has gone on for a long time, and I'm one of the DAs that believe the law applies to everybody. If you break the law, whether you're a public official or a police officer or something like that, you still got to face the consequences. You're no different. If anything, it's worse when you're a public official or a law enforcement officer breaking the law than the average person, because a police officer has not only badge behind them, but they also have weapons. And then a public official can mess with your taxpayers' money if they're a crook. So in a lot of ways, it's worse than the average person. They can actually do more damage than the average person. And so they have to deal with the consequences of their actions, too. The problem I think that's been going on throughout our country is that people are watching, and they see these folks not getting prosecuted when it was clearly some crime committed. They see these videos where the person looked like they weren't doing anything, or they see somebody getting shot because they had a cell phone in their hand and just happened to be walking along in a backyard or something, and see folks gunned down or beat up or all kinds of other things, beat with a baton. They see all this, and then the person didn't get prosecuted, or they get off. Nothing happened. They're found not guilty, like the Rodney King situation. And people are just outraged about how could this happen in this country. But I think with the riots, in the insurrection that went on the other day, people see now that we have a fragile democracy too that you got to work on all the time. That you can't assume that the stuff you see in other countries is not going to happen over here. The violence you see over in other countries with troops and others, security guards and other female folks shooting people. That kind of stuff goes on here too. So if these people that break the law were to face the consequences that day, just like right now, we're about to have a president pardon everybody that you think of and connected to, that destroys folks' confidence in the judicial system. When they say if you got money or power, you can get out of anything. That's just not a good look. And so we got to figure out some kind of way that when people sit in an audience in the courtroom, they don't see one set of prosecution versus another when the folks have committed the same crime and that type of thing. They got to have confidence in the system. And the only way to have confidence in the system is for prosecutors and judges to do their job and treat everybody equally and fairly and equally. And don't be picking and choosing who you're going to, because of their race or how much money they have or this or that, on why you're going to treat them a certain way. You need to treat everybody the same.
We also have a reporter, Mr. Turner. Me and him have had opportunity to work together before. Michael, you've got a question or comment in regards to Attorney District Attorney Jackson?
District Attorney Jackson mentioned earlier about holding everyone to the same standards. And I would like to commend him, because I believe you're in the middle of a case right now against one of the police officers up there, who was who pled guilty in federal court. And
right.
Honestly, on the national news, all we ever see are district attorneys failing to press charges. It's not every day that you see a district attorney pressing charges against a police officer. So. I commend you on, holding that standard to, if you break the law, you can pay the consequence. And along those lines, with the insurrection at the Capitol, there's a large segment of society that saw that, and immediately they realized that if these, I'll call them domestic terrorists, if their skin color was a different hue, there would have been a lot of bloodshed there.
Right.
Because you've seen you've seen extrajudicial punishments at riots,
right,
like in Portland, where, you know, armed federal troops came to protect a courthouse. And
right
here, at this right here, you know, you had the Capitol Police holding on for dear life. You never saw the National Guard come until the very end. I think it shows a vast double standard in the way that our country approaches these matters.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, I don't think anybody can be honest and say that had the skin color been different, that things wouldn't have been different, because first of all, you would have had a bunch of buses out there ready to arrest people. They would have been hauled in the buses or vans, taken off to jail immediately. Most of those folks walked out after they did all this stuff. They got back to their hotel, or they got on the train and went home, or drove home, or flew home, or they went back to their hotel with nothing happening to them. There were very few arrests that day. If anybody got arrested, I'm not sure anybody got arrested, but there were very few arrests for a situation where people actually got killed, including a police officer. At least one officer has been killed. And hopefully the ones that got injured won't die. But you would have had a bunch of buses out there to arrest a bunch of folks. Not only that, you would have had shooting going on from the officers, and the argument would have been, you know, I'm trying to protect myself. So you would have had officers shooting people, and it would have been a bloody mess had it been a different situation. But in this situation, you had officers that actually were taking pictures with these folks, some of them. Some of the troops who are now have been arrested were taking part in this riot of insurrection. So you had the security folks who were somewhat involved, some of them were somewhat involved opening doors and that type of thing. You might even have some Congress folks that took part in it. They were given tools like the day before showing up for everything, where everybody's office was. And so it would have just been a totally different scenario, and it would have been a mess. And people remember Bloody Sunday himself, with John Lewis and Jose Williams and all them guys. And so you would have had a million points and then all them getting beat. You saw those pictures of tear gas folks fighting. In this situation, you had the insurrection folks. They had tear gas. They were throwing it all around. They had bombs. They had they had all kinds of stuff, but they weren't shot. Even with all these weapons, the insurrectionists had, they weren't shot by the police. It would have been a totally different situation had their skin color been different. I mean, I don't think anybody can disagree with that.
Let me say, I thank all of you guys for taking the time out to be in this very important conversation. Let's look at the aspects of how can we, I don't know, you can't put a genie back in the bottle, it's out now, and the elements of racism in this country and folks hating on other people for whatever reason, that has been here all the time. But the attitude of our existing president legitimized their behavior. In other words, it was just below the surface. He just opened the door for it to come out full stream here now. I got another caller that's come on. That's 304-646. 877 and allow them to identify themselves. Welcome to House of the Gospel Block Talk Radio, National Association of Black Defenders. We are on with the District Attorney from Selma, Alabama, the 4th Judicial Circuit, District Attorney Michael Jackson. He is presently in a case now where a policeman is being charged, or have been charged in regards to a situation there in his district. Would you identify yourself, and if you want to ask questions, you're free to ask District Attorney Jackson any question that you want in regards to the riots in Washington, the case he's dealing with. He can say certain things, but he's on the line if you want to identify yourself.
Hello, good evening. This is Edna Gooch. I'm calling from Charleston, West Virginia. I just got on, so I think I will just listen to see what's being said before I make any type of comment. As far as the riot in Washington, I just think it was very uncalled for. I just pray that we can all come together with some solutions to end all this, you know, racism and rioting. And I just pray that God will, that we can all come together and live peacefully and do what will be right and what's pleasing to God. But my name is Edna Gooch, and I'll just listen for right now. I just came on.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, Ms. Gooch. All right. Michael, the newspaper man in this area here, Monroe County, from your perspective, what are the folks in your circles? We were talking about that the other day in one of our conference calls about going outside of your circle to break down some of these barriers between the races. In your circles, your white brothers and sisters, and as well as some of your black brothers and sisters, what are you hearing, and what's the consensus from down here where you and I live?
A consensus about race relations or the insurrection?
The insurrection as well as race relations.
Well, with what happened in D.C., I'd say most of our circle was appalled at it, or at least publicly. There have been some people, and I have friends going back a long time that are ardent Trump supporters. They've been very quiet. I haven't seen too many folks trying to make excuses or trying to justify it, but most of the folks that I know that are, you know, big Trump fans, they've been very quiet since this happened. I don't know why. Maybe they see who he really is, or maybe they feel a sense of shame. I don't know, but they've been quiet since what happened up at the Capitol. With race relations, well, Freddie, if I had the answer to that, I'd be a very well-known and rich man. from my circle, you know, really, from my perspective, or what I can do is, I have young children, and I try to instill in them a spirit or build character to where they will judge another person on their merits. You know, those, you know, my two kids are the only two people that I have really any control over right now, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I've also, as I've gotten a little older, I've gotten a little bolder, and I have friends that come, you know, they have this old Southern attitude. And I've gotten, I challenge that now. And I've learned how to challenge people. about preconceived notions about people who look different than them. That's what I do on a personal level, and I've noticed some of my other friends do that. I think some of us are you know, we realize that it's like me. I have a voice, and if I'm not using my voice for something, what good is it? And so I'm trying to use my voice more on these important matters in our society. But you know, it's the $10 billion question, and I wish I had a good answer for it, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I jump in on Nick?
Go ahead.
I do think on a lot of what you said, I agree with, because I have some young kids too, and with all the stuff you see on the television right now, and you gotta have this kind of discussion with your kids about race and why people behave in the way they are. And that, you don't want them to identify all of this with just one group, you know, about somebody's color and think that all certain groups are evil or something. So you gotta have them. But the other thing you have to do is we all have, as best we can, interact with folks that not stuff that don't necessarily agree with us politically. You know, to interact more with them so they can see that you're not some alien from another planet. That you're just a human being with different views. But it's not something so foreign that you have to fear about it, because what happens is people like President Trump and others throughout history take advantage of that situation if people are afraid. They take advantage of that and manipulate folks because of fear. Fear is a thing. But if you're around folks, get them to, when I was in college, there was a white guy who used the word close about. We ended up being best friends because he didn't realize, now I corrected him on the color thing, he didn't realize there was anything wrong with saying close, because he hadn't been around any black growing up. But once he was around me and saw I wasn't an alien from another planet, we ended up very good friends. So somehow, and of course everybody already knows one of the major problems is on Sunday, that's the most sexy time you're going to find white folks, white church, black folks, black church, and it's not much interaction. Black and white go to the job together, but they really do anything after hours together for the most part. That just doesn't happen much. And so you get back to your own bubble, and the folks you're around, those tend to be your views. And if that's the case, and you don't open up your mind to more things, somebody like a President Trump can come. And it ain't just President Trump, it's other folks too. It ain't just on the far right. You got that, some of that on the far left, where people are manipulating folks because they in this bubble, and they hadn't reached out to other folks. Because if you notice, the far left and the far right, I mean, the deep far right left extreme and the far right extreme, they're very similar. Neither one of them like the other, man. They don't trust anybody. And they want to tear the government down, tear the country down. And so you gotta watch this extremism where you close your mind to other folks' views.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I think most people don't understand is that God created government for a reason, and
right.
He says in His Word that if it was not for government, the anarchy that we see now escalating across this country, would be total anarchy all the time. And that's something I don't understand. Why they, some believe that government is useful, some believe that, like you said, it's not any good. Is that there's a task for all of us to educate people of the importance of certain rules and regulations and so forth as our human behavior. But right now it's a challenge for all of us. There's a part that all of us can play. And I like what you were saying, Michael Turner, in regards to those two issues that I asked you about. And I find that, see, I'm a retired correction officer, 29 years there at Holman in Atmo. And I find that same thing with my friends that I work with for 29 years. They are very quiet now. And I think it's just, it's okay to be quiet, but I think if you the lights are coming on for a different understanding of what's taking place, this is the time that it could be said, whether folks will listen or not.
Yeah, I agree on the quiet part. There are a lot of people quiet right now. And I don't know how long that quietness is going to last, but very quiet about what went on. And it would be interesting to know, is it because of shame or is it because of other reasons on why they're quiet right
something?
Now.
May I say something? This is Edna Gooch. May I say something about what's going on? I voted for Trump. I supported Trump. I'm from Charleston, West Virginia. And I believe a lot of people are quiet because what went on in the White House was very uncalled for, however it got started. I just believe that, you know, my pastor, I go to a church. I've been under many churches. I was raised in a Baptist church. I was raised in a Catholic church. So when I got out of prison, after surrendering my life to the Lord while in prison, when I got out, I got baptized in a non-denominational church. And the pastor there is actually one of my spiritual fathers. And I love him dearly, and I thank God for him. He's a Republican, very reserved man, but he's not one to get into backbiting and gossiping and, you know, but I was there at Maranatha, is the name of the church, and it's predominantly a lot of white people go there. I actually left there because of things that I was seeing in the church, and it was appearing to be like, you know, the blacks were disappearing, to be honest, but there's just some things that happened, and God knows I'd rather not even get into that right now. But my pastor now, I went to move on to another church here, and it's multicultural denomination. And my pastor, BJ Roberts, he's actually white, and he's married to a black lady, Tasha, and they have beautiful children. And he's his denomination, and it's like where it's just half and half, and we have a good time with the Lord. My pastor's a very good teacher. He's been preaching for 19 years, a young pastor, and he's really, really good. So I'm just at the point in my life. I never voted, really. I got my rights back to vote because after I went to prison, I lost my rights to vote. I did 10 years in federal prison due to a drug charge, and then I lost my rights to vote, but I got them back in 2016. And it's the first time I ever voted in my life. I never voted during that time because I didn't understand politics, and I'm kind of learning. And really, as one part of me is like, why did I even register to vote for all this nonsense? Because, I mean, we're going to have to come to the point. I come from a mixed family. My mother, if you see my mother, you would think she's white. We have black, white, and Indian blood in our family. My grandfather was Indian and white. My mother, like I say, she looked more white, just as white as she can be. She's been called, just had some, I mean, people think she's white and had some racist people approach her saying some racist things because that's how she looks white. But I just have to say, I pray that there be the day we can come together and have peace with one another. And to me, it's not about Ben, I call him Ben Laden, Joe Biden, or Trump, because both of them, to me, the love of the money is the root of all sorts of evil. And, you know, in the Bible, it says we'll wrestle against spiritual wickedness in Romans, you know, Ephesians, when it talks about putting on the armor of God. So our government is where there's money, there's power. I don't care who it's coming from. And to me, I'm looking, because I love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength, I won't compromise on the word of God. Not intentionally, I won't compromise. And to me, what's going on is more like evil versus good. And I know a lady that I always go back, you might want to follow her if you get a chance to look her up. Her name is Alice Marie Johnson. I was in prison with her. And when I talk about her, because Trump let her out, he released her, he pardoned her, and he not only pardoned her, he pardoned another young lady that I was locked up with, Crystal Munoz, this past year. And I hear people say, well, he only did it just to make himself look good. I mean, we got to really get to know people before we just assume and make judgments without not really knowing. No, Trump, he's got a bad mouth. He's very cocky and whatever, but I mean, we all got issues, all of us. And I don't know. I think we all need to, as far as racism, we need to kind of move past what happened in the 90s. There's nothing we can do back to change what happened in the early 1900s. My grandparents were slaves. Grandma Ollie was a slave. But I tell you what, they never, never taught me how to hate anybody. The majority of my friends that I hang out with are white. So the majority of the people that have been backing me up since I got out of prison have been white people. They have been by my side, throwing, putting money. I've never seen anybody sew. I never knew the importance of sewing and giving until I went to Maranatha, because I'd never seen it before. I'm talking about people sewing $600 and saying, not give it back. $1,000. I mean, just throwing $100 bills and don't want it back. Don't not asking for nothing in return, but love. So, to me, I mean, we need to. I mean, stop all the craziness that we are we going to get anything accomplished by hating one another and not even, you know, the Bible says if at all possible, live at peace with one another. How do we gonna bring peace if we're just looking at, we can't change, no, was it right to be Ku Klux Klan? I hate that. When I see it, it angers me. But there's nothing I can do to change that. All we can do is change what's going on now, and we do it by acting intelligently and not acting out in ignorance. And we have to forgive. You know, we have to forgive each other no matter what. None of us are beyond that. We cannot say we can't forgive anybody would think that God can't use any of us for his glory and to get his work accomplished.
Right.
You know, one thing I won't support, God delivered me from homosexuality. I've had an abortion. Homosexuality, I'm not going to support nobody. Because I love God, I want to do right by God. So I couldn't support someone that supports aborting children. I couldn't support someone that's going to support lesbian and gay marriages.
Right. Can I ask a question? That's where I was going to ask you, because I'm glad you joined this conversation. I was going to ask you, what was it about Trump in 2016 that made you want to vote for him? I was just curious, but I think you're about to get into that answer. So I'm going to be quiet and listen.
Yep, because let me tell you that I didn't vote for him in 2016. I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for anybody because I didn't know. One of my bosses, I asked him, I work for this organization called Union Mission, and I said, look, boss, I've never voted before. Come and show me what to do. And so she did, but I didn't vote for Trump the first time. I voted for him this time. I didn't vote for him last time. And I voted this time because I voted because of what he stands for, because I don't want to see our Christian rights taken away from us. I don't want to be to where the point y'all can't, we can't. I've got a lawsuit right now for basically saying I thank God for delivering me for a homosexual lifestyle. I lost a job, and I have a lawsuit because I said to a person, I thank God for delivering me from that lifestyle. I didn't have, I lost a job, and now I have a lawsuit, and I said, I believe God, I just pray God will have his way. But if we're, well, I don't want to lose a voice to where we can't speak about God without getting blocked up and put in jail or losing your job.
Yeah, but you know, if Jesus is talking about treating people the way you want to be treated and do on the others, and what was it about the way Trump behaved, the way he talks to people? Push them down, make fun of.
I don't know. I'm not saying everything Trump does is right. Those are things that God needs to work and help him so he learns how to talk better. Like me at one time. I wasn't always a good girl. I mean, but now God's using me for his glory. Look at David in the Bible. David was a man after God's own heart, but look at his life. He was a murderer. He an adulterer. So God can use whoever he wants to get his to get what he wants done. I don't agree with everything Trump does. God still got to work and clean him up. But I agree with the things he's trying to stand for, which is the constitutional rights and keeping us as Christians, you know, giving us a voice to speak in the church. So it, to me, it's about good and evil.
So you believe that him encouraging folks to take over the government and all that is for a good cause or something? Is that?
Well,
is
I don't believe
way,
that.
I'm just
I
curious.
I don't believe everything the news puts out. You know,
okay.
The media has different ways they can change and stuff. I mean, you can look at even computers. Like, for instance, I can tell if I got a problem on my computer, laptop at my job, those computers are set up through a GIF organization, through Acadia, which is all over. But they have IT, tech, that can come in. If you got a problem, they can look on that computer and change it all around. Just put everything around. Know everything that's on there.
Well, you know, most of these authoritarian societies throughout history have run down the media and the news, and they're evil and liars and other things.
Yeah, and that could go with both ways. But that could go with both Democrats and Republicans, for real.
No, I'm not.
I
represent everybody, Republican and Democrat. I try to be the district attorney for everybody, whether they the Republican, Democrat, far left, far right, in the middle. I want to be a district attorney of everybody. But I am.
Well, I
want
to
you on the call.
Dishonor God. I want to do what's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I
want
to. I was just curious as what is the reason some folks who don't appear to be a Trump supporter, why they supporting him? I was just curious. Then you said some of the same things I heard before, but I was just curious as to why you in particular were supporting Trump and still support him, it appears.
Well, at the first, I said in the 16, I did not vote for him. But when I did begin to look into him, because when he let this lady that I was in prison, when he released her, when Miss Alice Marie Johnson was given by, she was given life without parole. With however he had to do it, and she got to Trump through Kim Kardashian, whatever that rap, whatever her name is, he let her out. So listen to her. And today I was listening to another young lady. Her name is Nona Jones, black lady, a sister, and she was talking to her. Nona Jones, she had some good word in for the things that are happening in this world. And, you know, I mean, like I say, I support God. I just support what's right, but God, not meaning not compromising for anything. So to me, like when you say it's okay to abort, when you're saying we're passing a law, it's okay, abortion is okay, and LBG, to me that's saying, oh, I love Jesus, but it's okay to do this. And God didn't say that. It's not okay. So I want to stand behind somebody who's going to stand behind the Word of God. God worked really hard on bringing me in. And I will not compromise on the Word of God. I don't care if it means them locking me up. Lock me up because I went to prison for way worse things than Jesus.
But do you think Jesus would agree with just, a lot of the things Trump has done?
No, I don't. No, sir, I do not. But God can still use them. But not, are any of us without sin? Are any of us without, I mean, that we have not done things that what God, I mean, God has forgiven us? Oh, I know I was an awful lady. I could go back to my past and tell you some horrible things that I was involved with, but I can't change that. But what I have changed is who I am today. We have to give a person a chance. I mean, for real, we're just listening at what the media is saying, you know?
Okay. Well, you answered my question. I was just curious.
I mean, you just listen to them. Both of the men got issues, both of those men in charge. And it's all about money. That's all it really comes to, money, trying to make each other happy with money. But again, I just wanted to be able to do right by God. Whoever's going to stand for our constitutional rights and so that we will still have a voice in the house and the church as being a woman of God that loves Jesus with everything. God has brought me from a mighty long way. And I won't bow down to no devil, and I'm not going to agree with things that are not pleasing to God because I want certain things. No. No.
Well, thanks for getting on the call. I enjoy. You answered my question. That's what I wanted.
I have so many of my black friends that look acting like some of my black friends are upset with me, asking me if I lost my, what's wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong because I choose different from another person. Even with this, even if we have disagreements, it doesn't mean we still can't love one another and move forward.
I totally agree. We have to communicate. That's why I'm glad you're on the call.
And it's not communicating, acting ignorant. White people already think that's how some things they do, they want us to act out in ignorance. We need to act out intelligent because a lot of things that we even have in this world came from black people. A lot of the things like that are inventions and stuff, my pastor taught on that one time in black history. And BJ is so good. And he's white. He made me aware of some things I didn't even know. But then the white man gets credit for it. So to me, we just got to act intelligently, try to love one another. You know, he said, the Bible says, love never fails. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know, some of my best people, I'm going to be honest with you, who's had my back is people, well, since I got out of prison, I needed some help, has been white people. None of my black friends even bothered that I ran with, that I sold drugs to, that they come to my house and they was getting free drugs when it was a party. They were there. None of them, did they call me? None of them came to my rescue to see if I needed anything or they could help me.
Okay.
Sad, but it's true. And I'm not like that. I'm a lover. I try to help everybody.
We are, we have 90 seconds of live streaming time, and I want to say this before we go into recorded mode. We have an hour of recorded time once this streaming time is left. And I want to thank every one of you that took the time to join in this call with District Attorney Michael Jackson from Selma, Alabama.
Thank you.
Let's in the remaining time, let's talk about solutions. Let's talk about solutions.
Okay.
You're talking about problems. Let's talk about solutions. I'll go first. So far as solutions, I think one of the solutions is that we as individuals, one by one, name by name, find someone who have a different view, a different understanding of a situation, and you begin to bring your point of view in, and you all talk in regards to making a change in it. So far as not being able to get along with people, I'll give you an example. Even today, this day right now, January the 18th, I went into a store here in Beatrice to get a piece of PVC pipe for some plumbing that I was working on in the aquaponic unit. I wanted 4 feet of PVC pipe. And when I went in the store, there was a piece of pipe in there, maybe 7, 8, maybe 9 feet long. I didn't need that much pipe. So I asked the store manager. He says, well, I sell it in 10 or 15 foot pieces. That's how I sell it. So I said, I don't need 10 or 15 feet. I need 4 feet. And I held the piece up for it. And you know what he said to me? He said, I don't have time to go over there to cut, you know, 4 inches. And I lost it. I'm telling you right now, I lost it. And I said some stuff to him. But when I put that piece of pipe down and walked out of that store, that could have been the death right there for me or him right there in that store then. And that's what Ms. Gooch was saying a minute. Common sense. If he didn't want to sell the pipe, let him keep the pipe. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to cut me a piece of 4 foot piece pipe. And that was a black man. That was a white man. And this was a black man. Two grown men. I'm over 70 years old, and I imagine he was over 70. But that's how the conversation went down. That's what I'm talking about, crossing the line with folks that see and do different and say stuff different. I don't know what the reason why he said what he said. I was under the impression that you were in the store and somebody come in to buy something, you sell it. I don't know what was, you know, but I shouldn't have said what I said. Maybe I should have just sucked it up and let God handle it. And God did handle it, but he let me walk out of there alive. But
I would have begin to go get my store manager. I would have said, sir, since you don't want to do your job, where's your manager? I need to speak to a manager right now. Because, I mean, there's a way we still need to be treated right. I love people, but we need to have respect for one another, you know, because racism and hate and anger, it's a heart issue. It's a sin. It's something that's in the heart, whether it be black or white. Something is in your heart that's right to cause you to hate somebody else, and it's called sin. But I would have went to y'all and said, look here, okay, you don't want to do that. I need to speak to a manager. What is your name? What is your name, sir? I'm going to take your name because I'm getting ready to report you to your manager for how you treated me. I'm the customer.
You're right, Ms. Gooch. You're absolutely right. But before it's elusive, go ahead.
No, I agree with everything you just said about the key is communication. We gonna have to find a way to reach out to other folks that don't necessarily have our views, because we don't want to be arrogant like Paul was when he was Saul, where we feel like we're so right that the other side is so wrong. You gotta reach out to other folks that don't necessarily agree with you. I tell folks in my office when I'm hiring them, I don't care if you're a Republican or Democrat. I don't care who you support. And I don't want robots in my office where everybody's thinking exactly alike. Because sometimes when you have different views, you learn something. So we just got to learn how to communicate with others that have different views. But the whole key, you just got to treat folks the way you want to be treated. I think if you do that and show that to people, and maybe they'll start doing this to other folks too and keep preaching that, then I think we'd be a whole lot better off in where we are right now in this country.
I agree 100%. This is McCorvey, the president of the National Association of Black Defenders. I agree totally with that. One of my themes of the group is that we learn to love. And a part of learning to love is that it takes both parties to contribute to this factor of love. We are on the solution page here, and collaboration, what we're doing now, is something that needs to go out all over America, and that we have to start all over again loving each other. And you know that the good books teach you about love. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So many lessons in the good book talks about love. So we as a nation, we as a people, whether white, black, green, or yellow, we have to get back to the basic of love. That's what Dr. King talked about. That's what other leaders have talked about. I love Dr. Charles Stanley. I love listening to Dr. Stanley out of Atlanta when he talks about the permission that we have to love. He said it's such a gratitude when we come in the room and we can feel the vibrantness of love and what love does to an individual. You know, and it goes beyond the disparity of what we're feeling. It goes beyond the recession and oppression and letdowns and turnarounds. But love paints a different picture. Love gives us a different heart condition. And then we can focus on life issues as a team of God's representatives and just preach, teach, and elevate love.
Amen. I know I spoke already one time, but the thing that had come to me, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a deacon in the church. And the thing that has come to me and just hit me square in the face, Ms. Gooch, is this. I should have let God handle it. I should have let God handle it. Because he can do things unimaginable.
That's right.
I should have let him handle it. And that's just all to it. And the thing about that, you got to be in a love, God handle state of mind 24/7. Otherwise, you're going to get off track. Because that's what Satan do. He looks for little cracks in your armor to get in and do what he did today with this conversation between two old black human beings, an old black man, me, and an old white man. You see what I'm saying? Mr. Turner, what's your...
Yes, sir.
Oh, Mr. Mike, Howard, you're talking to...
Yeah,
Okay, about connecting with people that are of a different political persuasion or something like that. I think if we, and I have to do this myself, I have to remind myself that I think most of us in this country agree on 90% of the things. You know, I think at the end of the day, we all just want to do our job, go home, be with our family, love our family, see our friends, you know, things like that. And I think on most issues, when it comes down to it, most people agree on them. And I try to remember that whenever I'm talking to someone who that 10% of things we don't see eye to eye on, you know, is that we have more in common. Sometimes you can reach someone through your commonalities. That's the way I approach it. It works sometimes, it doesn't work. That's kind of just what the pep talk I give myself whenever I'm in a situation that's not a great situation, is that, hey, you know, we have a lot in common. Let's reach out on these common issues, see if we can find common ground and break bread over them.
Awesome, awesome. And it's me again. And Brother Howard and my other gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen on the call tonight, that's a key issue and solution right there. Finding common ground, finding the aptitude for common ground, and then finding the gratitude for common ground, and then we can focus on where do we go from here. What can we do to make this a circumstance, a situation, a whole lot better? You know, how can I make this world a better place for you and I? You know, so we have a lot of, as we say in Sunday school, we have a lot of meat on that bone. We have a lot of meat in that subject matter. And, you know, this is not our last dialogue on this. I want to ask the ones that's on here now, Mr. Howard, can you give us the we have a talk show with California this week on Raise Dialogue, and I want Mr. Howard to give us the menu and schedule for that Raise Dialogue. The Yuba City Raise Dialogue team will be meeting with us this week, and we're glad about it. These are is a multicultural group out of California that came up with this. We've just been the engineers and helping them put this program together, and it's beyond race. It's basically a multicultural program. And I'm going to let Mr. Howard kind of tell us what we got coming in this week, what we got going on this week.
Okay, on January 21st, we will be talking about housing with Jonathan Jacobson out of Palm Beach, Florida. He's going to be talking about housing and foreclosures and things like that, and how in this time where people are being put out of their houses, evictions and stuff like that, he's going to be talking about issues and so forth and things that you can do. And one of the things about it is that I'm just going to give both of them. One of the things about when you have an issue with your housing, that's the time you begin to act. You don't wait till the people come up, officials show up with an eviction notice to start acting. You need to start when you get behind with the payment or whatever the situation is, whenever you believe you were wrongly treated so far as your housing loan or whatever the situation is. Now, on that's on the 21st. That's going to be January 21st. That program will come on at 9 a.m. Central Time here in Alabama, but 11 a.m. in California. All right. There's another program that will come on the 23rd. This is with the Yuba City Race Dialogue out of a conference called out of California. And we will be talking about exactly what we've been talking about, the issues of race. We've talked about more than race tonight, but I found that it was rooted in race, I believe. But we're going to be talking about race relations and how you deal with situations and how you handle things before they get out of hand and that type of thing. One of them is going to be on the 23rd. That will be at 11 a.m. That'll be 11 a.m. California time. And then the other one that I said before, 9 a.m. will be here in Alabama Central Standard Time. Two great programs, the National Association of Black Defenders will be bringing your way with open line call in for growing and solving some of the problems that we're facing now in this country.
Awesome, awesome. And one thing I wanted to add to that, and I appreciate Mr. Howard, Mr. Freddie Howard, our publicist, our promoter, and our PR person, is that he does an excellent job with bringing this information to us, you know, and we're just excited about what he does and everything. And I really, really want us to focus in on what the organization is all about. If you go to our website, www.na-bsandboy.org, you can see a lot of things about the National Association of Black Defenders. We're here to bring more informative information as Mr. Israel Cunningham used to say way back in the day, we want to let the people know what we have going on across the South. And it's the good things that's going on right now. Although sometimes it looks dim, but there's always a bright light shining through the darkness. Yes, sirree. So that's the things that we want to do. And also we want those listeners from far and near tonight to support the National Association of Black Defenders and support our effort, because we do have staff attorneys on staff. We try to take care of them. We have different issues within the city. I do city dialogue with different cities. I'll be with the Palm Beach County Community Revitalization Department of that county on Friday, and we'll be talking about how to revitalize cities and get cities on board when it comes to revitalization and COVID-19. So there's a lot of things out there that the organization takes part in, and your voice, as I always say, your voice is so important. What do you do, Mr. Michael Jackson, the DA of Dallas County and the Fourth Circuit? What you do is so important. We need men like Mr. Michael Turner. We need men like you guys and others, and Ms. Edna Gooch, and I can go on, and even our board members that's not on air with us tonight. We thank God for them, because they bring a lot. You guys bring a lot to the table, and this, all this does is get our community and keep our community informative on going a step ahead and doing the right thing. All right, Ms. Frey, I'm turning it back over to you.
Let me add this. Ms. Gooch is battling COVID right now. I hope I'm not being too forward. And we are planning. She had given me the okay to go ahead and plan a conference with her in regards to prison reform and the issues of that she's been talking about tonight. So I kind of backed off when you let me know you had COVID. So if the go-ahead is still there, I'll pick a date and go ahead and upload that as a conference call as well whenever you get ready. Is it okay to go ahead and set it up, Ms. Goot?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. How you doing now? I know I've said a few words to you on Facebook, but how you coming now?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been truly blessed by all the calls coming in, and so much. I mean, people have dropped off food and water, and I mean, I've just been truly blessed, and I'm so grateful how God has provided my job. Even they call and check on me, and, you know, I'm feeling a lot better than I was at first. And at first I was trying to let fear, come in, and you know, all I could think about was death, because I've seen people die, and there's people living, there's people dying. And so I'm like, God, you know what? The devil is a liar. No matter what, I'm going to praise you. I know you got me. For whatever reason it's happened to me, you know, I believe everything we go through in life, God is trying to teach us something if we'll just listen. And, you know, it's nothing to play with. I mean, we definitely got to be careful. I even found out how, after I admitted it, and I've shared it on Facebook, some of my family members have also had it in battle, and they never told me, you know, because a lot of times people want to be hushed up. But, you know, I believe some people may be a fear saying they have it because they don't want to lose their job, or maybe if I tell somebody I have COVID, I need my job, and they're thinking about their job more than it's spreading this plague. But, I mean, so we have to be honest, and, like, if we got it, tell somebody, tell your job, tell the church, so that you can go get checked and the people around you can go get checked, you know, because that's not fair to me. I mean, that's why I let people know, because whoever knows that was around me, now you can go get checked if you feel like you need to get checked. Because I didn't know I had it. I don't know where it came from or where I was, or, you know. So I encourage you all. I mean, some people, I know they're in fear of losing their jobs or whatever, so they just go, maybe even test it and don't say anything. And, you know, that's not really good because we got to, in order to stop it, we have to know where it is. I mean, cause, I mean, so many people that I know have had it. And it came out of my family. A lot of my family touched up, and then they were like, you know, some of my family members never told me they had it until they found out I had it. Then I'm like, oh, I had it. I'm like, okay. So it's something we need to just don't be afraid of sharing it. I know God is going to see us through. I know he's going to see me through because I have faith in him.
Amen.
No matter
Amen.
What, and no matter what.
Okay.
Be
okay, Mr. Turner has let us know that he has to go. Thank you, Michael,
okay.
for joining us. I appreciate it. God bless you. And keep writing.
Thanks.
Awesome.
All right.
And we need to encourage people to take the vaccine, too. I just want to throw that out because this stuff be a deadly.
I'm hesitate.
mm-hmm.
You said they
hesitate. People hesitate about the vaccine, but I think it's to me, most folks are going to be better off with an allergic reaction than catching the virus. That's just my opinion. I ain't no doctor, but that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Attorney Jackson. On short notice from our executive director, Dr. McCorvey, he put me in touch with you and on a quick turnaround because after I ate, I was just finna lay down and let the TV watch me.
Well, I enjoyed the show. It's been very interesting.
Yeah,
I appreciate
this. Awesome.
Hey, look at here. Next week, January the 25th, we have a live conference call in with the Board of Directors of National Association of Black Defenders. I don't know how many board members will be there, but I know one board member will be there, myself and the executive director, Dr. McCall, will be there. It's on the 25th. That's at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And we'll be talking about human rights versus civil rights. If you don't mind, now I've sent a lot of reaching out to Senator Hank Sanders, well, ex-Senator Hank Sanders. He's busy. I mean, Lord have mercy, he's busy. And I know you can attest to that, District Attorney Jackson. But if you can reach out to him, tell him that's on the 25th of January, the Human Rights versus Civil Rights. And I think Dr. McCorvey had talked to him already, but I have not been able to pull his coattail long enough to get his attention. But if you don't mind, relay that message to him, because I've been posting it on Facebook and sending a message, but I ain't got a nay or yay back. But I sure would like for him to talk about human rights versus civil rights.
Okay.
On January the 25th. In fact, it's all this the first 3 months, all of January, February, and March. So he still got another chance, because we do the program. January the 11th was the first one, January the 25th. Then 2 weeks later, we do another, all the way up until March the 28th. So it's all on human rights versus civil rights.
Awesome.
Yeah, January 25th. Yeah.
January the 25th, okay. All the way up to March the 28th. It's a whole 3 months, January, February, and March, we're going to be dealing with, National Association of Black Defenders is going to be dealing with human rights versus civil rights. We have an open conversation just like we just had then. Then we come back at the end of it with solutions. We're not just talking about them, but we're talking about solutions just like we did today.
That's right. Awesome. And I want to ask each and every one of you, well, I want to thank each and every one of you first for being a part of this show tonight. Especially on short notice, I think it's a love that you all have for your communities and what you do when it comes to environmental, social justice, equal justice. It plays a major role, you know. And one of those segments, if I'm not mistaken, we have something on black-on-black crime as well. That's coming up as well. It's what, more information that we're trying to pull out and become a solvent for within the community. It's so important. And let your colleagues and people in the community know about the National Association of Black Defenders and what we're trying to do to make our world a better place.
Attorney, District Attorney Jackson, you got the mic. Close us out.
Well, again, I enjoyed the show. A lot of important topics were discussed. And it was nice for the caller to call in and give a perspective of why, what she liked in Trump, what she didn't like. So that was an interesting topic, too. And again, for the next 2 weeks, we all just have to be have our eyes open and be vigilant and try to stay safe. And also, we learned the lesson, too, about the fact that we have to communicate with others that may disagree with us. Try to communicate it best we can after the temperature goes down. You know, we can have these communications. So, again, thank y'all for inviting me. I enjoyed it. Keep up the good work.
All right, thank you. All right. We have the preacher here. We have the deacon here. We have the heartfelt Christian, Miss Gooch. The floor is open for prayer. Even the district attorney, if you want to pray. During this broadcast, we always find time to pray. Any volunteers?
I figured the Reverend was going to close with that.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, your kindness, and your mercy. Father God, we thank you for your leadership, Lord, because you lead us beyond all of ourselves into the truth. Father God, we pray that you continue to be with us, stand by us, and Lord, we pray in times like these which we live, that you'll be a guide for us and that you'll give us the answer and the solution to the many problems we face in today's world. Lord, we want to thank each and every guest that was on today. And Father God, we pray that you wrap your arms of loving kindness around our children and keep them out of harm's way. Father God, we pray that you continue your blessings, Lord. Lord, you said in your word that we lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our path. Lord, we're leaning and trusting you to be a path director. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we love you. Until we meet again, amen.
Amen. Good night, right. Y'all.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Miss Edna, I will. I believe we got the 21st and the 23rd for next week. That's those 2 days, and I will try to. It's Friday. I believe you said Friday or Saturday was a good, better time for you. I believe. Remind me which one you said was a better day for you.
Saturday.
Saturday.
Is it Friday evening or Saturday, like in the afternoon, like evening too?
Okay. All right. Friday evening or Saturday during the day. Okay. I will look forward to putting that in place and uploading it and send you a link and you can begin to share it with your folks that you know across America. And Ms. Goose is the person that deals with prison reform and issues that National Association of Black Defenders deal with. And I am ecstatic the fact that me and her had a long conversation prior to her coming on as a board member for the National Association of Black Defenders. Thank you, Ms. Gooch. I love you. I love the way you hold on to your faith, hold on to your belief. That's the way you do it.
Amen.
That's exactly
Amen.
How you do it. I don't care who.
God has been so good to me. I mean, if anybody ever hears my testimony, actually, I have a pastor friend that's helping me to write the book because I know
right.
there's a book, and it's not my book. It's God's book, and I just want to hopefully get
yeah.
that done, and that will give me, a platform, something to use. And, I mean, so many people have been encouraging me to write the book, you know, because it belongs to God. He did it. I did it. But I'm definitely a firm believer in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm standing here today, not by anything that I did. I did one thing, and I did it while I was in prison. I surrendered to him, and I told him he could have this life. And I never forget that day when I surrendered, and he met me in the hospital room of that prison. And I said, Lord, if you just give me one more chance, and you give me a, because, I mean, it's like he came to that prison, and I was, had went out for a surgery, and he came, it's like he came to the room and said, you got to choose whom you're going to serve. And I looked up, I'm going to say, God, if you give me one more chance and you give me the strength to do it, I will serve you for the rest of my life. And that's what I've been doing. And I love the Lord. And for whatever time he has me here, my heart belongs to him. My mind belongs to him. I belong completely to him.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I love people, and I want the best for everybody, you know. I mean, I just I just hope we can come together in love and just move forward and do what God has called us to do as being men and women of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on behalf of all of us, and that's, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Michael McCorvey, Pastor McCorvey just said the key word, the scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's one of my favorite scriptures. He said he loved the world, so that's all of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, on behalf of the National Association of Black Defenders Incorporated, located at 1629 K Street, Northwest, Suite 300 in Washington, D.C., 20006, telephone number 202-852-4816 or 561-236-2024. And if you need legal counsel anywhere in the country, call 202-852-4816. And if you would like to make a donation to the National Association of Black Defenders, go to our donate page, and make a donation anywhere from I believe it's $3 up to $1,000. And if you want to, you really want to give, you can go over $1,000. And thank you, and continue to support the National Association of Black Defenders. On behalf of all of us here, Ms. Edna Gooch and myself, board members at the National Association of Black Defenders, y'all take care, and we'll be talking to you next time on the 21st of January for the program on Yuba City and the other program dealing with housing situation. Until next time, take care and God bless.